Welcome to the Geeks of the North, a hobby gaming podcast of La Belle Provence. This week I'm here with Antoine and Yom. We're talking Chaos Lidzik wrap-up. So sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host Paul Fillion, here with my co-host Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
And Yom Le Machin.
Woohoo, I'm back!
Yay, Yom's back!
Yay, I'm back!
Yom is back and you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, I feel like that.
It's been a long time, Yom.
And you've been saving the best for me?
Well, you know, always. As my second favorite French Canadian, I mean. Well, maybe third favorite. But,
yeah. Thank you.
I'm not going to say who's my first favorite, so Steve and Antoine can fight for the honor.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the first, so
that's Well, I'm sure they have no clue.
No, it's good to have you on the show. So this is kind of a lighthearted show, much like last episode. We're basically just going to be talking a little bit about what we've done the last few weeks and wrapping up.
Catching up.
Catching up and giving an overview of what happened at Chaos Lidzik and how that went down, because that's a pretty big event up here. And then we'll talk about things to come. So on that note, let's get this ball rolling, and that'll take us right into hobby time. And as always, I will start hobby time. I think I mentioned last episode I was working on a bunch of Kador stuff for Chaos Lidzik. So since Chaos Lidzik, since it happened, I wanted to have all my armies painted. And then since immediately after Chaos Lidzik, I joined a Journeyman League. Since the last time I recorded the show, I've painted roughly 35 different War Machine models. So I've been going into overdrive to get those done. And it's a pain. And I'm looking forward to the Journeyman being over so I can stop painting. At least for a little bit. Or at least stop painting my Kador, because painting red for that many models is quite annoying. But I have to say, overall, I'm pretty happy with the quality and the way they came out. I think they look pretty good in the table. And
you would say that they look good enough?
I would say they look good enough. And in fact, because of that, we've joked about Good Enough Studios for a long, long time. And so I actually decided to launch my little painting project. A commission painting studio where I'd be doing some commission work for people. People more focused on doing tabletop and good looking tabletop and basically mass produced tabletop quality miniatures. I'll leave all the display stuff to you fancy schmancy painters, Yom and Antoine. I'll just take the dregs. Yeah.
We cannot help it. We're French. We cannot help it.
That's right. You're far more artistic than I am. Yeah, so I've been working, not strictly hobby-related, but I've been working a lot on the website for Good Enough Studios. And that's coming along. I need to get some good photographs up there for it and fill in a few blanks, like my rate chart and stuff. At least give people an idea. But it's coming along. It's coming along. And really, that's it for my hobby. I mean, I could go into the detail of what 35 models I painted, but... It's really no point.
That could be a long list, 35, but maybe like the main models, something particular, favorite models and something.
If I have to pick favorite models that I painted out of those 35, I think my Beastone 9 came out particularly well. I painted a Drago as well. I really love Drago. I think he's a cool looking model. I think he's a little underpowered for what you pay for him, but he's a good-looking Jack. And I painted a Butcher 1 for the Journeyman League that I'm participating in. And my completely skewed list for the Journeyman League has made me no friends. Who knew that a battle group consisting of two 25 armor Jacks would cause a problem for people? But really, the thing is that list is kind of... It's a double-edged sword, right? Because it's super hard to crack. But if I do anything with the Jacks, their armor drops to 17 and they explode. So I really have to run around with Butcher killing everyone while the Jacks stay there and
push suck people up damage. Around, yeah. Open yeah, lines exactly. And...
Yeah.
But still, that's kind of funny because the weakest link in your army is the Butcher. That's the weakest link.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, weakest is defense 15 and armor 24 when you keep everything.
Defense
14, but with 17 with iron flesh. That was sarcastic when I said weakest link. Like, he's super strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Oh, what's funny is, you know, even though the jacks aren't particularly strong, with his feet, you know, on a charge turn, that initial punch, it's their PNS 16, I think, base. But on his feet turn, they're 4 dice on the charge. So that hurts. But yeah, so it's been a fun list to play. I've played 3 games in the Journeyman and won all 3. Yeah, that's going well. It's probably my best win record ever in War Machine.
It's better than your win record at Chaos Lady.
Oh, we won't talk about it. Well, I guess, do I save talking about that to the actual Chaos Lady section?
Yeah, yeah, we'll keep that for the Chaos Lady.
Okay, because the pain, I'll postpone the pain. Yeah, so that's about it. And I guess I'll talk about my games right now. So I mentioned the Journeyman League, and that's, you know, that's been fun. That's the first time I've ever done a Journeyman League, by the way. And I did the launch event for
Devastation.
Devastation, yeah. And that was pretty fun, though I was sad to find out there was no real scenario and that the War Machine players get no real objectives to play. So, slightly disadvantaged. But in the end, I was the only guy that showed up with a Kador army, so the store gave me a coin they had left from a previous event they ran for a War Machine event. So, at least I got a coin out of it. And, yeah, since we're going to skip to Chaos Lady to talk about it later, that's about it for me. Antoine, what about you?
We haven't recorded for a while, so I'll be skipping a lot. What I've done latest, I'm working on a commission with Yom. We're pairing up to paint Lizardmen stuff for an upcoming event. And I'm tackling the heroes while he's doing all the chore of painting the multitude of guys in a unit. So I've been working on those guys recently, and I also worked on all my War Machine for Chaos Ludic, like Paul. Well, my Ords, I was working on pigs. So I was able to finish maybe an handful at a good level, and all the rest was rushed. Well, they were colored instead of painted, I would say, for the event. So they had all had colored wash, some highlights, and some basing. They're not final. When you look at two, one, a complete model and mid, like almost done model, you can see the difference. But on the table, they're all super dark, so it didn't show that much. I also did a Space Marine bike commission for Kieslodic. So a captain and a sergeant, two. The yellow ones, the Imperial Fists.
Imperial Fists, yeah.
Yeah, two nice conversions. It was fun painting yellow. I almost wanted to keep them and not get them back to the client.
That's the danger with commission painting.
Yeah, that's what I did most recently on the painting side. And another small thing, I painted a demo map for Kill Ball using an old Zazie mat we had for the club. So.
Yeah, that looks really cool with the lines painted on it and stuff.
Yeah. Did a bunch of more stuff for Chaos Lady, but we'll mention that in the Chaos Lady show and some other random miniatures here and there. So, in the games, I was able to get one practice game before Chaos Lady of War Machine, and that's mostly because I played Gilbald instead. So, I had a bunch of demos, a couple of full games with Yom. So that's mostly what I've been doing. And after that, the 4 game at Chaos Lady, which we'll go over later. And that's it in the game side. Oh, and one last thing. I did my first painting workshop / painting class at Slab Rosemont. So that went. That was last weekend, and it went really well. It was a really happy with how it went. I had 7 attendees. The comments are all good. Most of those I've already registered for the second, the intermediate to advanced class. And I'm really happy. I should post. I should do a post about that on my blog, probably this week before the show come out. about how the class went and some pictures.
Do you feel any different now? Yeah, like you're a teacher?
Nope. No.
Next step is a Painter's Row at the Rippercon?
I don't think so.
I have to ask Antoine, and it's completely off topic. We're on Google Hangouts, so I actually can see Antoine sitting there in front of his mic. And on the shelf behind him, there's a box labeled Nunbush. And, I mean, if someone says Nunbush to me, I start to think my mind goes to weird places.
Nunbush?
Yeah, the blue box.
The blue box. So I want to know where you buy a box of Nunbush.
Those are our shoes.
Well, that's boring.
Boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoebox. Like here, dress shoes.
Here, I thought you had some sort of naughty nun fetish.
There's one too many ends.
I thought that was just a stylistic thing. Anyway, fine. No. That way.
Yeah, stylistic dress shoes. That's what they are.
A little less boring. We'll build all these stylistic.
Okay, Yom, you gotta follow the Nunbush. Go.
Okay. Hello. It's been a really long while, guys. Like, it was the start of summer last time I recorded with you.
By the time I finish editing, you would probably be start of summer again.
I'll try to make it easy for you. But lots and lots went by, so I'm just going to stick to main events, let's say, as for hobby. If you guys remember, I painted pieces for a board game called Hannibal, Rome vs. Carthage. And the original customer posted the pictures on the forum of Board Game Geek, the website. And someone else who saw the picture hired me again to do the same pieces. Like, again. A second run of the same thing. But weird thing is they're super rare, but okay. That's the first time that that kind of thing happened. But the great thing is, it's the guy, the second customer, because the first customer was from a local from around here. But the second guy was from L.A., so that was my first American customer. I'm now an international painter. I can rent that in my resume. International painter, Yom Le Machine.
Wow! Tell Meg she has some competition.
No, seriously, that's a cool milestone. At some point, you have to focus on those milestones if you want to build your little commission painting service. So it's like, hey, I already had the milestone of shipping from one end of the country to the other, but now it's international. apart from that, this summer I started working more seriously on my Pink Legion, because I wanted to be able to play that army for real, especially since for Kaludzik I got dragged to play that
press ganged into it.
What?
You were press ganged into painting those.
So so I've worked a lot on them. So added models to the army, like units, more casters, more beasts, usual things that you see in that army. But I also did some, because I wanted to push the pink team to the max. So I did some custom tokens. Which, for your info, like, not you guys, but more like listeners, if you want to do something personal, it just takes like a bit of your time on Photoshop and about $10 you can to print those sheets and buy a die cut, like a round die cut in the scrapbooking section of an art store, and you can make yourself some cool custom tokens. So as I know that a lot of the opponents I had were looking onto them, and you just basically takes time, but no, it's a cheap alternative to have like custom tokens for your army, so you can do whatever you want with it after that. And I found some art-shaped plastic beads, pink and purples, to use as fury tokens. So the team is pretty complete. It's a when I put that army on the table, it's a lot of love coming your way.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah. Oh, no, they just want to give high fives and hugs. That's all they want to do.
I seem to recall you high-fived me to death in round one.
Yeah, well, they're not super good at giving high-fives. They end up poking you.
They don't know their own strength, right?
Yeah.
Going with that idea, I ordered today with another local guy, like meat chops, like small wooden meat, like pork chops or something like mm-hmm. that, to use as influence for my guild ball. Team, butcher team. And I think I'll have enough to use as a fury for my pigs too.
Oh, that's cool. I like to see that kind of little things that people add to customize their army. That's really funny. Oh, talking about Guild Ball also, I found, because Tonio gave me some demos and I played some games, and I found a Brewers team. Second hand that I have in my possession right now, so that's my future personal project. When the commissions I have underway are done, I'm gonna be able to paint some Guild Ball and join Tonio in the Guild Ball nights and help to find more players for this amazing game.
Yeah, I have to try that game at some point.
You totally have.
It's in theory, you should try it this week.
Oh, before the weekend, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it's an amazing game.
That's not going to happen, probably.
No, I know. Saturday morning.
Yeah, maybe.
Just before taking your flight?
No.
We're doing the
Geek Fest this weekend.
We're demoing. Right.
The one you bailed out?
And a bit of bailing out, apparently. Bailing out from the show, from the painting nights, from the painting session, Geek Fest, blah, 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 blah. And, okay, go back on topic. Lastly was the, like Tonio said, the Lizard Men, that it's from a previous client of mine, the Bastiladon customer. He came back with, like, more heroes and a full unit of 28 temple guards. So I had to split, and Tony was ready, and I was happy to work with Tony on commissions. So he got the heroes, like he said, and I got like the old tabletop unit that's more like a core, feels more like a core than a real painting project. But you do what you have to do. Now on to games. Like I said, I've been playing the Pink Legion, so practice game before Kaludzik. And also there was a first journeyman that's how I learned to play Legion, because I never really played it before. But there's also the second one starting, so I'm gonna do both too, because it's really cool playing Legion. It's really different from playing Signar. And the practice game, I had one against Tonio, and we also had one against Jamie Bell, a guy from Toronto, a friend we met several years ago. He's also the co-host on Lost Hemisphere. He came by because he got a job interview here in Montreal, so he was in the area, and he brought some Bonhomme with him. And it was pretty cool to play against Jimmy. We've known him for many years, but we rarely get to see him, so it was pretty cool to play with an old friend.
Yeah, I skipped that, but one of my Guild Ball demos was with Jim.
For Jim. Preach it, you know, to spread that Guild Ball cancer everywhere. I know that you really liked it, right? So you started, like, rallying people over there, too.
Yep.
And that's cool. So as for games, like we told us already also that Tonio gave me a demo of Guild Ball, which I fall in love instantly. And two more games later, one with Fishermen, one with the Brewers, I was looking up online for Brewers team, which I found. So everything is coming out, the pieces are falling in place. And Yeah, I've been a busy bee, but that's pretty much it. The rest is pretty much Codis Ludic.
All right, cool. So I guess we'll go, you know what? Let's take our break. We'll come back, and we've still got a question from Mike to talk about, the hobby tip of the episode, and of course our main topic. So stick around, geeks. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right, folks. Actually, I forgot to mention our newest segment, Cool Stuff on the Web. And Antoine found us something neat this week. So why don't you take it away, Antoine?
This week, I'm going once again back to Privateer Press with a War Machine team army. This time, it's a retribution of Syra army with a samurai slash Japanese inspired team. It was done by Lucifer 888 on the front. You'll have a link in the show notes and probably on Facebook and other social media. It's an EVP converted army to have all kind of Japanese team, both guys saw it too. All the casters were modified, pose modified, armor modified to add all the, all do you call the lameled army armor? All the small plates. I'm not sure. Oh. An armure à bande, which we would say in French.
Banded mail.
Okay.
Yeah, to make like a banded mail. Yep.
Yeah. And he also has a evilly converted and modified colossal with that standing over a small bridge and a pond. The pond is lit with LED lights. There's a oriental dragon flying over it, and it's still just a work in progress. You see some like LEDs and other stuff and wires popping out, but already what's there is super impressive. So that's a really cool team.
Yeah, it's a, the colossal is completely whack. It's really cool.
So
yeah, it really
that was that's the cool thing I found.
All right. Let's see. Oh, of course. What would a show be without our question from Mike DeSpieler? So, Mike this week would like to know if we've ever thought about giving up the hobby. And why, if you did, what was the, as he put it, the Michael Corleone moment where you thought you were out, but then they dragged you back in? So I guess I'll feel this one first. Yeah, I'll be honest, over the years I've often thought about giving up the hobby. And I've taken huge breaks, like 3-4 years at a time, several times now. And I always assume at some point I will stop. I just don't know when that point's going to be. Though to be honest, as I get older with kids and other responsibilities, it does get tougher and tougher and tougher. Which I think is why now I actually thought about doing the commission painting service. Because then I can paint stuff and make money off of it, but it's not, since I don't really necessarily want to paint stuff for myself anymore, it still lets me do a little bit of that hobby fix and not necessarily have to worry about doing something with the miniatures afterwards. Because that's the other problem. Sometimes I look around my house and I see there's miniatures everywhere, and you know, it's like, what am I going to do with all these things?
When your kid's going to grow up, play with you, get a trainer.
Yeah.
To be your Padawan.
Train her how to lose at miniature war games? Yeah. but I don't think that's really going to be in the cards. I don't think that's really what her mother would want. So yeah. No, I often think about it, Mike. And I haven't managed to shake it yet, but who knows what's going to happen down the road. What about you, Antoine?
I took some breaks like years ago, mainly because when I moved to Montreal, the first one, so early 2000s, I slowed down because I just moved here. I was I started university, got new job, new girlfriend, a new place, everything at once, and I was also part of the organization for LARP, and that took a lot of my time. So hobby dropped at that time, but it never really stopped, and I don't see myself stopping that. Like painting, not so much gaming, as I don't game that much, but I paint and hobby a lot, and that's the calming point in my day. Like everything is done in the house, the kids are in bed. I don't go sit in front of the TV. I rarely watch TV at all. So the hobby is what's there for me to take a breather and calm down after my work day or a crazy family weekend or stuff like that. I don't really see myself stopping anytime. And that's just the painting part, but also I love the gaming part. I don't play that much, but I love it. I buy rule books just to read them. Read the fluff, read the rules, learn new way of doing stuff. I listen to so many podcasts, read so many blogs about not just miniature gaming, but board gaming, RPGs too. So, no, I don't see myself stopping, and I don't think I ever really fully stop for more than a couple of weeks or months max.
I have a very similar answer to Antoine's. I never stopped since I started when I was 17. And I always preferred painting than playing, so it's always like a 70-30% or 80-20%. But same thing, I don't see myself stopping anytime soon, or even far in the future. Gaming, I won't ever play a lot, but painting, same thing, it's like the calming moment. Helps me focus on like what happened this week, what I have to do next week. It's like my moment where I focus on things, and where I just, and then flush everything out from my day. So it's how I refocus. So no, I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. I think it's a really great hobby. You can find whatever you're looking for in that hobby. Whatever aspect you're looking for, you will find.
No, that's true. There's a lot of opportunity to express yourself. I think it also helps that you guys are more artistic than I am. So it makes a difference. I think the reward you guys get from painting is greater than what I get. I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy the social aspect, like hanging out with you guys while I do it. But I think, I'll be honest, as I've been thinking about it, as you guys have been talking, I think if I didn't have the group of friends that painted, I probably would have quit doing this years ago. I think it's turned into a social thing, like people socially drink, I socially paint miniatures.
This is an intervention!
just wait, you start your chibi. You'll get the fun back into it.
So backstory, we were talking about me painting a chibi this week. And I took out some, and I cleaned them, and I looked at them, and I put them all back in their baggie, and I put them back away.
So close!
I opened up my box of Super Dungeon, decided I didn't like any of the Super Dungeon models.
Any of them?
Well, any of them, yeah. I don't want to paint any of these. So then I put them back in the box, and put the box back on the shelf where it's been since it launched. And then I looked at my Impact miniature ones, and I found a couple I thought maybe I'd like to paint. And then I was just like, I have no idea what to do with these. I just kind of put them back away. So, maybe someday.
Sad moment.
Yeah, well, it also comes down to, like, most of the stuff I want to do, I'd have to use an airbrush to do. And with that room not having any heat,
yeah,
it's not the best place to be airbrushing.
Maybe after this class, you'll get more into the Shibi team.
Yeah.
Anyway, you won't have a choice to paint one during that class.
I have painted, now I think about it, I have painted some before. I painted some at the Reaper speed painting events at Gen Con 2 years ago. When Impact first completed their Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So I speed painted a knockoff of the main character from Last Airbender.
Yeah, the little monk on the cloud or on the base.
On the spinning ball.
Yeah.
At least I think he was the one on the spinning ball. Anyway.
Well, there are a couple of variations to what you can put it standing on. So.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, I painted him. I don't know where he is, but I painted him somewhere. It's it's a certain style. And the thing is, I need to work on a lot of stuff, I think, before I go back to those. I don't do NMM, and they basically scream to be NMM and only NMM because of the cartoony style.
Yeah. I did some in metallics, and
they don't look right.
Yeah, they look right, but you need to really push the contrast, and I'm with you. I think NMM would look better. I'm thinking sometime about going back and redoing some of the work I've done on them. So
yeah.
I can see why you have that mindset with it. Just paint the one without metal, then.
Well, yeah, everything has metal on it. Some, unless I paint one of the Impact My Little Ponies.
Oh, yeah. The flying pig or the monk or there's a bunch of them. The wizards. Yeah.
Well, the one I looked at painting was the angel. So she really doesn't have much in the way of metallic on her. She's got a little tiara. That's really about it. But yeah, and she just screamed to be airbrushed.
Well, at least for all the base work. Impact one, I have a pretty big flat surface, so I can see why airbrush might be better.
Yeah, all the robes and stuff, right?
It's, yeah, the Super Dungeon Explorer one are. The details are a bit smaller. I'm not sure airbrushing would be as good for them.
I agree with that, yeah.
Absolutely. But if you don't like the models, it doesn't help.
Yeah, also, I'm in between painting spots in my house. So, the room I usually paint in is too cold to paint in. The rest of the house is kind of off limits due to baby and other factors. So my paints are all packed up and sitting on a shelf, and I have nowhere to really use them. Unless I unpack them and paint on the kitchen table, which sucks because then they stay there for days and my wife gets annoyed. So, yeah. I need a bigger house. That's the secret.
You need to get rid of your cats.
Yeah, that too.
I'll solve that heating problem.
Alternative!
Yeah. Yeah, well, the heating, actually, I got a space heater for that room now, but the room has to be emptied out because it's just full of storage stuff right now. Anyway, that's way sidetracked. So, Mike, I hope we at least somewhat answered your question. I was not even sure if we did at this point.
Right, we were answering Mike. That's true.
So let's slide into the hobby tip of the episode. And then after that, we'll take a quick break and come back with our main topic. So, Antoine, why don't you take us into the hobby tip?
Yeah, for this week, the hobby tip is not a painting tip. It's more of a accessory tip. For War Machine, most of the similar scenarios use objective, and you need to track your damage points on them. Pirate Press provides cards you can print. But the format is bad. All the cards are inside a full-page PDF. You need to print it bigger and cut them down. And you have to have the cards and an objective token on the table. So we're running the... For Chaos Lytic, instead of printing a bunch of cards or letting people print them, forget them, not bringing them, having problems to track their stuff, we decided to do custom objective with damage trackers on them. So what we did a pretty simple design with the Club Chaos logo, some 15 squares because all the objective have 15 wounds, and we did some coloring because the scenarios provide for a player 1 and a player 2 objective, so red and blue, and we printed 24 of each. After that, what we did was plastify them. I don't know if that's the right word in English.
Yep, it is.
Okay, so we were using self-adhesive plastic cover for books.
Oh, MacTac.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the name for that. So we used MacTac over the sheets, and we printed them on like heavy stock paper or light cardboard, somewhere between those two. So with the MacTac over it, it's already pretty sturdy, and we used a punch.
Die cut.
A die cut that you could find in the craft store at the right size. It's almost 50 millimeters, just a tad under 50 millimeters. That's the official size for them. And we glued those on 50 millimeter washers to add weight so they don't move on the table. And with the MacTac over it, you can use dry erase on the damage trackers, and it wipes out like you can with the cards when you use them in sleeve. So you have your objective straight on the table, and you can write damage straight on them. So it's super easy. And doing that, we had objective for everyone in the tournament. We printed, I think, 50 objective. Well, printed and made 50 objective and 80 flags. The flags, we used the same system, but without the damage tracker on them, on 40 millimeters. And it costed us maybe $40 total with the printing, buying the washer, glue,
enough,
something like that.
Enough to, for 24.
Yeah, and we have enough for 48 players.
It's cool because they don't move on the table. If they get knocked over, I mean, they're sturdy. They won't chip or break or anything. And it's easy for both players to see the damage and to write, erase damage. It's really a good concept. Everybody should do it.
And we didn't invent that. We've seen that somewhere on the web and adapted the idea to our needs.
So you stole the idea. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We adapted it. That's it, Paul.
All right.
That was my stolen tip.
I was trying to come up with a witty response to we adapted it, but I'm too tired. I got nothing. All right. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll do our main topic, the Chaos Ludzik discussion. Be right back, geeks. Alright, folks, so here's our main topic. It's our Geeks Catch Up Chaos Ludzik discussion. So, we're just going to kind of go over what happened at Chaos Ludzik, how the event ran, some of the numbers, some of the results. And really, I was just a participant at Chaos Ludzik, so it's going to be Antoine and Yom running this part of the show. I'll just get it out of the way right now. I suck at War Machine.
We saw that. Move away.
You won a game. You won.
I did. But really, I just suck. That game. Good game. Solid rules. So min-maxed, crazy. Like it's a super synergy, and I always forget that, and then I'm reminded when I try playing.
But you also registered for the team tournament. Like we said in last recording with Liz, when you asked me, is there still a place in the team tournament? And I corrected you. Are you sure you're not talking about the casual on Sunday?
Yeah. No, for sure.
You picked the almost the worst tournament to register in for like intro casual players like you are and the rest of your team are.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is that most other games, the team tournaments are the casual events.
I know, but
it's interesting. It was a good experience all the same. Would I do it a second time? I think that sound pretty much describes it all.
What is I about to say? Depends next year what your level is or your motivation is, but
level.
You can bring like 8 or 9 of the Demolisher Devastators you're using right now, and just push forward.
Armor's cube. Armor's cube. You know by now that this game is all about rock, paper, scissor, so you have to be the rock to the guy's scissor.
Yeah, a little bit too much so, I think. Anyway, that's besides the point. And the problem with running Armor Skew is that Kador doesn't really have a good Jackcaster. It's not what Kador's about.
Nope.
So my list works great at 15 points, because it's 15 points.
Yeah, people don't have the tools to deal with that.
You know,
at
it worked.
15
it worked even better at 12 points. At 15 points, I already see holes in it, and it only increased by 3 points. At 25 points, I'm adding a third Jack. I'm adding Ruin to the list. So I'll be running 3 Jacks: Yuri and Butcher. I will die horribly. But on the bright side, it's easy transport.
Yeah, simple.
It's you one tray. Lots of my models. Army.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, let's get to Chaos and Zik.
Okay, so this year, Chaos Edict, the attendance was down by probably 30 to 40% overall. That's mainly due to fantasy bombing. With the release of Age of Sigmar, the death of 8th edition, right before the event, Norton Defender, our partner in organizing Chaos Edict, had to make a decision on what to do with that game. Were they going with 8? Were they going with one of the alternative like 8.5 or 9th Age? Were they going with Age of Sigmar? In the end, they chose to run 2 events. Well, 4 events, both single and team for each game. They decided to run 9th Age, which is one of the most organized alternative for 8th Ed, the next edition of 8th Ed Fantasy, and also to run Age of Sigmar. In the end, neither of those worked. They didn't get enough registration for any of the 4 tournaments, so all 4 Fantasy Team tournaments were, not team, but teamed tournament were cancelled.
That's a good big blow, because they took really long and they asked people what they wanted and they really thought that through. So we all thought that the best solution was to offer both systems, but none of them worked. It's like it's completely dead.
Yeah, but and it's also really the decision had to be made really shortly after the announcement. So most people are not set yet into what they want to do. Like people who want to continue playing fantasy game, either our new skirmish variant like Age of Sigmar, or are they keeping with fantasy in the more complicated rules and going back to 8 or previous edition like 7, going forward to an alternative 9th age, or going to a separate company that do rank and files or rank and flanks, as they call it, like Kings of War by Mantic. So most people are not set yet on what they want to do. And that short deadline didn't help. Also, maybe providing 2 choice maybe didn't help. It made it harder to get enough people in any of the event. So maybe having our decision and choosing only one, no matter what one it was, might have helped. Also, there's the fact that 9th Age has been decided as the new game for the WTC, is it? Or the ETC? ETC. Yeah, WTC is for War Machine. For the European Team Championship, is going forward with 9th Age. And if that had been known, like, at least a couple months before, it might have helped boost the numbers for that version for the event, but that was determined like right after yesterday, so that didn't help either.
Yeah, and I think fantasy as a whole is just like all those people are suffering. If you look at
most other fantasy podcasts, They're either switching game or just dropping out.
Yeah. Or if you look at Fantasy Fest, right, which is the super popular casual tournament that's run every year here in Montreal.
Yeah, they only have 3 teams registered right now.
I think they've only got 2.
They had the third this week.
Okay.
Oh, my understanding is the third team hasn't paid yet, though, so they're not actually registered. They're on the list, but they didn't pay.
Maybe.
So, in any case, three is not much of a tournament, right?
No. At least it's 4 people teams, so that's 12 players. But still, that's not a lot when we were, 16 when we went 2 years ago?
Yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah. So, even then, we decided to keep with 8 because most of their players are casual and don't change as fast. Even then, feel the blow. So, it's hard. It will be interesting to see what bigger events like Adepticon do, or most of the other GTs that were mainly focused on fantasy, what they will be doing. I know there's in the US there's a big move toward Kings of War. In Europe, you see more of the Ninth Age. In the UK, it's a mixed bag. You see some Age of Sigmar, you see some Kings of War. So, I think the US see more Kings of War. That's not true. The US is big. They have so many events and groups that it's all separate. But
yeah, so I think Adepticon is doing they're doing Age of Sigmar as their main focus, using a variation of Clash Comp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're also going to be running 8th Ed, no end times.
Yeah, they are running their big clash, like their 3,000 points game is keeping with 8th Ed. So I heard that one, yeah. And there's already a Kings of War tournament because Mintic was running their Clash of King tournament there anyway.
Yep.
So people have a choice. I just hope for them that people don't spread and get low attendance at each event. Which might be the case too. Or they all switch to other people. We hear a lot of people switching to War Machine and Infinity.
So, yeah, no, for sure.
Bad.
I must be honest, no, I didn't understand anything of what you said, Yom.
Yom said it wasn't a bad thing.
It's not bad for the first game I mentioned.
No.
Yeah. Be nice. Okay. So that's the fantasy part of Chaos City. The rest, though, went well. The 40k attendance got a bit higher than last year. If we combine single and team, we had, I think, 18 people for the single, 20 or 22 for the team, which is good. War Machine, the team tournament, we still had the full 48 players, no drop. We had a good turnout for the Infinity, 12 people, no drop. Everybody was there. We even had some spare player if needed. We still ran our casual tournament for War Machine and the hardcore on Sunday. Both the attendance went a bit lower than last year, but nothing significant. Everything ran smoothly. Except the big problem with fantasy. All the rest went smooth. We had good comments as always. The place was welcoming. So still have the bar both days until almost closing time. New this time we had sellers and presenters. People with stuff on display.
Yeah, you had some merchants.
Yeah, merchants. Yeah, so we had
sponsoring the show and they were there on site. Yeah.
Yeah, two store had stuff to sell, and also most of the price were given in gift certificates, so people could buy them right there at the store. So they had choice. They were not stuck with, let's say, a Scorn starter if they didn't play that faction or stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a good idea, and it was well received. We also had 2 other. So those stores were Labyss and Gamers Vault in Montreal, and we also had 2 local terrain makers, TH Miniature, who is running. He's doing more fantasy or like a generic Risen Terrain. His first Kickstarter was a pretty good success. We had stuff painted by ourselves there, and he was presenting stuff for his second Kickstarter upcoming. We mentioned him last show, if I remember correctly. And the other one was M4 Studio, local guy Marc Caron, who was also running the Infinity tournament. He's doing a laser cut cardboard terrain for Infinity and other sci-fi games. So he had his stuff from the first Kickstarter there, and some preview for his second Kickstarter upcoming too.
Yeah, and it's important to emphasize that terrain is pretty awesome.
Both terrains are cool.
Oh yeah, the TH stuff is nice too, and I think we talked about that last show, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but Mark's stuff, just because it's different, as we mentioned on the show when we covered his Kickstarter, we say it's cardboard, and it is cardboard, but it's super rugged. And the stuff is well-designed, so it supports a lot of weight. Like, it's not flimsy feeling.
Oh, no.
No, it's
such really a good value. Such a good value. Can't emphasize that enough.
And it's a lot cheaper than going for the same thing in the MDF, so...
And it's almost as sturdy. I mean, you show me one, and mm-hmm. you cannot just, like, bend it with your hands.
Yeah,
you have to really, like, give it, like, real weight to bend it.
I think it's actually more solid than a lot of the thin plastic card stuff that we're seeing crop up for Infinity. That's, like, mm-hmm. the By super cost-effective...
or stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly. The super cost-effective plastic card stuff actually mm-hmm. feels flimsier than this.
Yes.
Yep. So, good product, and also looks good. He did a good job on the overall design of the pieces.
Yeah, everything's well designed. It fits together really well, and flat packs.
Yep.
Something new, also new, that we had at Kiosk this time, when I say we, I mean the Club Kiosk team, we were not running the team tournament this year. Montreal and the Montreal area has been getting more and more press gangers, so that's the organized play volunteers for Private Press. So we had some guys, a couple of guys locally, Philippe Deniaux and Dominique Morin, and they ran the tournament for us. So we ran the event. We did all the preparation, everything else, brought the terrain, but they ran the event during the Saturday. And we were, for the first time in 6 years, able to play in the team tournament.
It was so refreshing.
Yeah, for you, because you only played. Papa Guillaume and myself have had to run a lot of other gestion. How do you say that? Like,
yeah, a lot of other things to manage.
Yeah, management stuff at the same time. So, like, for my third and fourth game, I rushed them and, like, went for the throat. And was I winning or not? Just to be able to go back to my computer and finish preparing stuff. I spent most of the day in the breaks at my computer to prepare stuff, or running around between the rooms to bring some of the prizes to the 40k place, to one and the other, go talk with the vendors to be sure. So I liked playing, but if I'm ever going to attend another tournament, it won't be during an event I'm running. that was too much for me. But I liked it. Well, I liked playing. That last time I was in the tournament was probably the team tournament at Templeton 2 or 3 years ago, with you and Yom. Yeah, 3 years ago. I think that's the last tournament I was part of.
Sorry, yeah, I was gonna say, at least you got eased into the tournament, Antoine, because your first round you guys got to raffle stomp my team.
It was my artist game. With Arcadius. The game against Chris, my first game against Chris was the toughest one for Arcadius. One of my caster. It was so my second artist game of the day was my first game.
Well, I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that.
It was a tough game. Guillaume almost lost. He was losing instead. But Dan clocked out, but Dan was winning.
Dan didn't clock out that one, he would have won.
Yeah, one more turn and he would have won.
Dan clocking out is like his curse.
Yeah.
God bless him.
So our game, Paul, was the only one that was straightforward.
Yeah, I made an oopsie and forgot to move someone, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Half my army went inert. Like,
Yeah. So, Paul, you already mentioned your game quickly. Yom, do you want to go into maybe some highlights?
Well, what Paul just said, the thing what happened is that it was he had put his Colossal on a journeyman, and I had a wreck, so he just ran around, like, spent some time killing some Widowmakers and continue behind, jumping behind the Colossal and killing that guy, the journeyman. So after that, I just put more pressure, but that was the highlight of that game. I don't know, I went 2-2. It was really first refreshing to play. I think Guillaume had maybe it easier than you, Tonio. He had to leave some at some points to because he was managing the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But roughly, he was still on the tables.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year I was really like missing out on playing. It was really starting to get a serious itch of playing. So this year was a good thing that we found PJs to run, so we could at least try to participate in our own event. Other games, I went 2-2, and they were all like weird games. Like the two I lost, I could have like easily win. It went just to one or two play to make the difference. And the one that I won, except the one against Paul, but the other one that I won, I should have lost, but the dice like just gave up on the other guy. And check this out, okay. So I never saw it coming. I was playing against Terminus. I was Stag Rush 1, and he had all the perfect like characters to give him speed, like solos to give him speed. So he did a caster run, like an assassination run on me that I never saw coming, but I had some transfer, so he start hitting me. I transfer what I could, I end up with no transfer, he continue hitting me, so he's down to his last attack, I'm down to 1 hit point. His last attack hits, is -2 on damage, so he rolled snake eyes.
Oh.
But he has a puppet master from the solo, quick solo, that you can re-roll a damage roll.
Mm-hmm.
So he re-rolls snake eyes.
Jeez.
He rolls snake eyes twice in a row, leaving me on 1 hit point, and then I killed him. But it's like
we see in Fridge, t'avais la merde au cul.
Really, it's like, okay, I was not supposed to win that. Not one bit. But okay, that was the weirdest thing.
And that's why people rage quit War Machine.
He had it rough for maybe 2 minutes, like he couldn't believe what just happened, like the dice just gave up on him, but after that he went to grab himself a beer at the bar, and it was pretty cool, and we talked about the game, and it was pretty nice after that.
Any game with dice, right, you're going to get those games where the dice do something weird, and it throws everything else out of whack.
Yeah.
That's one of the joys of gaming, right? You never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Exactly, but all games were fun, but this one was peculiar at the end, but like all games were fun and the opponents were fun, so I had a great time. I played against Jose, which I always find I don't play enough against this guy. Funnily enough, we had a game like 2 weeks before the event with the exact same list, and I won that practice game. So at the event, we were not supposed to play against one against the other because we didn't have their same rank. And their team used their mini feat where they can. The mini feat is once per day you can change the rank of players. So they used that mini feat so that he could have his revenge match. And this time he won. So I thought it was a weird use of it. Mini feed, but hey, revenge match or a thing. aside from that, no, it was a pretty cool day. Everybody reacted to the Pink Legion. I know that the word was like going around because when I was deploying on the table, people were going, "Oh, that's you! You're the Pink guy, Pink Legion guy." So, and he, at the end, it went. It won best painted for the day, but there were like what, 5 painted armies. So out of 48 players, best painted, but there was like 5 fully painted armies.
No, come on, there must have been more than 5 of us.
I don't know. Fully painted, I don't know. Also, Tonio had a bunch of players that had not bunch of models that were just colored, like he said, like not finished. So that's how I just like sneaked past him. But no, I'm glad with how they looked. There's a lot of work still. Like when I first started that project, it was more of a joke, like a quickly rushed tabletop. But lately, more and more, when I paint them, I put more work into them. So the latest models, they look better. So it's still deserved, but there was not that much competition either. And that was my Saturday. I don't know what next year will bring. If we should do it again, Tonio is not convinced. I think Guillaume, I don't know where he stands. I'm not even sure where I stand. So. Yeah. But it was pretty cool to do it this year.
If we do it again, I think probably we should have at least one of us not running, and in that case, probably me, as I'm doing most of the management usually. So you should probably play with Guillaume and get a third player like Paul. Try to convince him to try it again. That way he won't have to face you in the first round.
That's a safe way of not losing to me, Paul, playing on my side, on my team.
Oh, you'd still find a way to beat me. It's like, yeah. Oh, Paul, yeah, this should we put in a new team feat where instead of switching art ranks, we get to switch which team we're on. Like, oh, Frank.
You get in front of me, I'm going to beat you, crap.
And the way you would do it is you would use it to send me to another team. You wouldn't change teams. You'd stay on your team, you'd send me to the other guys. It's like, who's our worst player? Paul, send him over.
No, it was a thing of like rock, paper, scissors, our game, Paul, because you had an army that was strong on melee, really melee heavy, and I had Saren, which can buy myself a turn from melee attacks. Because of her feats, there's no melee attacks against her battle group, and the way she plays, she's a beast caster, so her whole army is pretty much a battle group. So
yeah.
That was a good drop against you. It was like, oh, he's mainly going to do melee, and I can dodge melee for a turn, so I can...
Well, everything I had was melee. Both my lists were melee. Both my lists were almost identical with only a few models difference. So,
yeah, the big shooty thing was the Colossal, and I took care of it with a rack.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep. Mm. What about you, Antoine?
I was playing my pigs, and they were the first real outing of Arcadius Nature of the Beast Team Force. I've been told that Nature of the Mullikarn isn't that bad compared to Arcadius Team Force. So
that's a lot. That's a big thing to say.
That's saying a lot.
Quite the statement. Quite the statement.
Yeah, they're still pigs. So I went 3-0, won my 3 game with Arcadius. 2 of those were still pretty close. I had good alpha strike, but it still came in. I was losing the attrition and got a lucky caster kill against Daniel Arsenault. Strangely, most of my games I've been playing in the last 2 or 3 months were against Daniel, and yet again I faced him during Chaos Lydic, so that's fine. I really like playing against him, so that
well
that
what's not
cool.
To like,
yeah,
I actually
so,
played my first game against
he
him
he doesn't
recently.
Like facing Arcadius though, so
but that list is brutal. Nature of the Beast is brutal. It's the game that we played as practice.
Yeah,
at your place before the tournament, and you completely like steamroller me. It's like a...
And that game, I made so many mistakes.
Paid the crap out of me so easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I played it better at the event, having at least one game of experience with it. and it showed during my third game of the day. It was crazy. I had my War Hogs in almost the deployment zone of my opponent in the second turn with all the crazy shenanigans movement you get. All things played like they had to, and it was that one was more of a stream roll than the other three games. My second list was with Carver. This was not exactly what I wanted to play, and the matchup was not good. That matchup was made for Arcadius, but I was this lucked. So it came out. I almost was able to get a caster kill, but I missed by 1 point of damage. And that point of damage was the other guy healing itself because I killed one model for no reason, and the 83 gets healed when you kill someone in their control area or something like that.
That's brutal.
I think, or I don't remember exactly, that's 2 or 3 weeks ago. But in the end, I missed it, and I lost by having her most beloved Lord Carver killed. So, lost my fourth game. But I had fun playing. I don't often play lots of games because most of the time I can only play late at night, and that means one, maybe two games and smaller point size. So I like tournaments to get a bunch of games in. So that was cool. And also practice for a lot of new models that I have never played before, like what's his name? Maximus, I never played before the event. And he was fun, but I only played him once because he was in my cover list. So I can't wait to get some other games and play with my list and get him into my pairings and try to play more.
He's a cool looking model.
Yeah, yeah. I worked on it. He was one of the fastly colored ones. I was able to work a bit on him during the workshop last week. So that's the only other pig model I was able to work with because of other commissions I'm working on. So no personal paint except during the workshop. So he's moving along slowly.
Very cool.
Yeah. So aside from us playing, the event went pretty well like the years before. Sadly, the attendance was down, but we all know why. Now we are looking forward. We haven't done our postmortem yet, but it's coming soon. I think overall it's a bit like last year. Everything went well. The format works. So there, I don't see any reason to not do it next year, especially now that we can get help with from the mm-hmm. Pressgangers to run the tournaments during the day.
Because that team tournament is unique in the year, in the area.
Yeah.
So
well, it was unique before.
The interest of other people. So.
Yeah, it was unique before. Now you see it like there's one this weekend. There was one like 3 or 4 weeks ago because people do primer to prepare for Kieslidic. So you see them all in smaller point size, like 6 or 8 teams instead of the 16 teams we do. But we're starting to see it more locally, so we'll have to up the level, up our game if we want to stay like the War Machine event in Montreal. So that's probably what we'll have to do, but I'm not sure we're ready to get that much bigger. And next event we'll probably do is in the Open. We're partnering again with Norton Defender. And as they're moving to Montreal, we will be running the War Machine Ords section of their event. We'll probably still get help from the Pressgangers, but we'll be preparing, deciding on the formats and stuff like that, bringing the
tournament. You know that players at Kozik, they ask us for another team tournament at the ND Open?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that one is probably in the work. Right now, the format they chose last year for War Machine was not well received at ND Open. So they will be more open to our suggestion.
I think last year they didn't follow a standard steamroller format, right?
Not exactly.
They had an extra round and it caused problems. Yeah.
They didn't listen to us and they failed. Now they will listen.
No, that's not that bad. But So I'm already in talk with Dominic about that. And once the postmortem for Castle League will be done, we'll be moving forward with Indie Open. And after that, preparation for Castle League already next year for the 2016 version. So
nice.
Deciding on what we do, especially regarding the D&D part of the show, like what we do with fantasy. Do we just drop it? Well, at least for Castle League, we have the chance that there's at least a new 6 months we can let pass to see how the community gathers around.
See if there's any bounce game. Back.
Yeah. And we have time to decide what we do. The ND don't have as much time. The event is in May this year. So they still have a 7-8 months in front of them, but it's not that much. So, but that's it. Overall, Castle League went well. I don't know if you guys have any comments about the show in general, other than what you have already said.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I thought it was a good show. I think it went really well. And despite getting trashed nonstop, I enjoyed myself a lot.
Next year, play in the casual.
At least you're getting used to your standing. Position, whatever. But no, nothing to add except that we got that machine pretty well held up. It works fine. The format we know it now. So. There's no surprises. We'll have to decide if we want to up our game, but otherwise that format on that precise format. Could go on for years and years and years. Do we want to? We have to decide. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Go ahead, Antoine.
And I was saying, on that note, I think we're going to take a break and Paul will bring us back into the closing part of the show.
All right. Be right back, geeks. We're back. All right, folks. So that pretty much wraps up our Chaos with Zik discussion. Just a couple points before we head on out of here. You may have noticed that something's changed. We were missing a little something earlier. So Antoine and I have made a decision to actually remove the news and events section from the podcast. This is really because we're so slow at editing that by the time we get the podcast done, the news and events have either passed and are no longer relevant, or it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
so
some we decided Kickstarter to do, have delivered before we.
Yeah, exactly.
We preview them.
You know, at the rate we're going, I may actually get my games and gear tables before this podcast comes out. So, it's a bad sign. With that being said, we haven't given up on the news because some people have mentioned that they like our little kind of excerpts of our cherry pick news format. So we're going to release a weekly or bi-weekly mini cast in the same channel. What do we decide to call it, Antoine?
It's not set yet. Maybe News of the North or something like that. If people have idea for the format, for the name, we're open to them. So that might be that could be a small contest. If we like an idea, we'll think about it and publish it on Facebook.
Yeah, that could work.
Or not, and we'll find something and we'll just release it. You'll see in the next few weeks.
Exactly, you'll find out.
Find something better than News of the North, go, because that's a good name. No, but I mean, it's attached to to your name and the podcast.
Our name, Yom. Our name.
Yeah, my first idea was... You're part of the family. Yeah, you're part of the family too, Yom. My first idea was Geeks News, But that Alice Geeks, another member of the United Geeks Network, do the exact same thing. They have separate news show, and they're calling it Geek News. So that was really, really too close.
So, yeah, we don't want to get in any kind of, you know, geek turf war for names.
No. We don't want Jeff and Jeff and Jordan on our back. No, we don't want that. So that's it for the new format. Well, you're gonna probably start hearing that in the next couple of weeks, maybe even before this show release. We might do the first. knowing
the,
us,
the knife, Antoine,
and with Yom on the show, probably.
Oh, double stab!
Wow.
Well, yeah,
I know.
You said yourself,
I got a freezy so far, so he had to do something.
You said yourself that you were gonna get it tonight.
Yeah.
It is. Well,
I don't know. We haven't really heard Darth Yom all night, so editing should go pretty smooth.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
He took the microphone out of his mouth this time. It works well.
Yeah. I moved it just a bit over there.
It'd be good, or I'll put a clip of that episode at the end of this one as an outtake.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Your dark secret will be out there. All right. On that note, just a couple quick shout-outs. From me. So, first off, I'd like to thank John Chastanet, not only for being a fan and a listener, but for helping me figure out where to take my wife for dinner when I was down in Burlington this weekend for her birthday. He made a great suggestion to go to the Texas Roadhouse. It was a delicious steak with some interesting entertainment, and the line dancing only slightly terrified us. Well, it's because we were sitting. So the restaurant, we're sitting in like a bar section, and we're sitting next to this low wall, okay. And we see everyone kind of line up next to the wall, and they start doing this little dance, and they're clapping to the music, and all of a sudden they spin around, and there's like, I don't know, 12 people. They kick this wall that we're sitting next to, in unison. Like I said, just clapping, they kick the wall together, so the whole wall shakes, and we're eating. We're not really paying attention, right? So can you imagine you've got a mouthful of food and all of a sudden 12 people kick the wall that you're sitting next to? And then you're like, okay. And they keep dancing. So you go back to eating. And they do it again. It was, yeah.
To make you feel welcome when you eat. Boom. Got it.
But food was great. Portions were, you know, American sized. And yeah, it was all good. And one last little shout out to Shoshi Bauer from, oh god, Shoshi's Magnificent Mini Painting. Is that right, Yom?
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's it? Okay. It's a mouthful. So I just want to thank her for letting me steal Yom out of her hangout tonight so he could actually come and record the show. It was nice of her. You know, I thought he was our friend, but apparently he'd rather spend time with her and Jim Waffle.
I really didn't understand that it was tonight that we were recording, so
I know.
Was in the hangout with her.
I could see how when we talked about it all last night during the hangout, how you'd miss it, and in the conversation today when we kept saying it, I could see how you could misinterpret that.
I didn't or see something. Any conversation today about the show. That's the thing. But I had a weird
You're here.
Day
You're here.
At work, so it doesn't count. So
doesn't count. It's a freebie. Get a pass. Okay. It's all good. You made it here in the end. That's all that matters. We get to tease you. Life is good.
Life is good. Everything is back to normal.
Exactly. So on that note, let's sign off. And I think that's it for the night.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio. And Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.